we're here talking to Scott Parkin. How are you feeling now, Scott?
I'm okay. I'm in Washington, D.C. I left Houston yesterday, evacuated out before the hurricanes hit, which happens to be hitting the Gulf Coast right now.
Well, that's bad. I hope everybody's safe over there for you, your family.
Yeah, all my family's not there.
Well, do your recent, I guess, celebrity deportation from Australia. You never really got to talk about your story. So I just wonder if you could tell us what you were, the two important issues you were talking about while you're here in Australia.
I was talking about Halliburton and our campaign against war profiteering that we've been carrying out in Houston. And I went around Australia and talked about that quite a bit. And then I was also kind of merging that with a discussion about the U.S. anti-war movement and strategies that we're using to kind of like put pressure on certain pillars of power that support the illegal war and occupation of Iraq, and ways to like kind of shut that down in a non-violent way.
Your hometown of Houston is Halliburton's HQ, isn't it?
Yeah, Halliburton is, they do a couple of things in Iraq. First of all, they're like kind of like a oil services support company. They provide a lot of the maintenance and construction of oil pipelines, that sort of thing in Iraq. They also own a company called Kellogg Brown and Root, which is based all over Australia as well as here in the United States. And they provide a lot of logistical support for U.S. troops in Iraq. And then they also do a lot of construction of things like military bases and such.
One of the things you were talking about here was the idea of the battle of the story. Can you expand a bit on that for us?
Yeah, that's a media framing strategy that some really smart friends of mine who are in a group called the Smart Meme Collective have been talking about. And it's basically a way of where instead of activists trying basically kind of contend with, you know, a media line or story that like the powers that be or the status quo put out, it's creating our own story and telling our own stories and talking about this, some of this social change stuff in a more positive light, and basically one that tells our story of how we're actually winning some of these battles.
Because an example is, I guess, is whenever there's an action, the only time it ever makes it on the media is when there's some sort of confrontation with the police.
That's usually the headline, 6 protesters arrested protesting Forbes, or something like that, not about how, like, Forbes, you know, is promoting, like, global capitalism, which, you know, leads to a lot of, like, war and poverty and suffering.
So how do you counter that? Because quite often you're not going to get on the TV news if there's not some kind of battle story for them to tell.
Well, I actually don't think that's true. I think actually if you have a really good media strategy and you have a good media team and know what they're doing, that you can actually put that story, your story, out there, not just the story that they want to tell or that what the powers that be want to like kind of like distract us with.
You're doing a really good job of telling your story to the Australian media as to your deportation. You're really causing a lot of, well, the government have caused a lot of trouble for themselves, and you've been articulate all the way through it. But one thing that I have noticed has been absent is actually your voice in a lot of this. So that's why we're trying to get you to tell us in your own words, you know, what you've been doing and what you believe in, rather than hearing it from government officials.
Right. And actually, a lot of times, even though the media has been favorable in talking about what I've been doing or why I was removed, but instead they get their facts wrong a lot, and that's why it's good that I'm like kind of putting myself out there so that the Australian media can really kind of pick up on what I'm talking about and what I'm doing and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you must be pretty pissed off with the government, the way they've been handling things, and now there's this leak coming out allegedly saying that you were training people to do things like throwing marbles under, I mean that's the old furphy, isn't it, throwing marbles under the horse's feet. What do you think about that?
First of all, it's just completely untrue. I would never, you know, incite or encourage anyone to, like, harm any sort of animal. I feel like when the police are using those animals for cow control, they're already abusing them enough, and so I would never, ever encourage anyone to do that. And it's just, I knew that the story was completely false when I heard that aspect of it.
So I was just wondering what you could tell us you've been up to since you've returned to the United States.
Well, I spent about a week kind of relaxing and laying low out in the country. Then I went back to Houston and kind of had to be evacuated. Now I've come to Washington, D.C., where there's an anti-war mobilization going on. And I've actually hooked up with a non-violent peace trainer collective. And we've started doing some trainings, teaching people how to like de-escalate situations, deal with aggressive counter-protesters or police or anything like that. It's very much the non-violence. It's actually one of the main non-violent trainers, a guy named George Leckie. I've been actually hanging out with him a little bit today.
That sounds great. Can you explain for listeners what de-escalation is?
Yeah, that's where you use things like eye contact and voice control to basically kind of like de-escalate tense situations. It's a way of like kind of communicating or kind of getting across what your intentions are to like police or counter protesters or something like that. And so it also lessens the necessity or possibility of violence.
That sounds like completely opposite the sort of stories that we've been hearing in the implied statements coming from Philip Ruddock. What do you think about the sort of things that Philip Ruddock has been saying?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like when the Immigration Department deported me. They didn't give me a real reason of why they were like removing me from the country. And instead, we hear leaks from ASIO to sympathetic media. You know, Philip Ruddock and John Howard come out and make you know statements, but there's never been any kind of like official process to really kind of let me know what was in their assessment and why I was considered a national security risk and why I had to be removed.
It must be profoundly insulting to you to be told that you're a security risk.
It is. It's very frustrating, and I honestly think I'm pretty much the opposite. And I wonder why the Australian government spends the taxpayers' money and you know, like snatching peace activists on the street, yet those people like Osama bin Laden are still walking around.
Are there any follow-up actions you're intending to do to, I guess, counter what the government's done to you?
We have a legal process going on. We're trying to get the my canceled visa kind of reviewed by the Migration Review Tribunal, and I think some other stuff might be coming up. I really can't say any more than that.
Yeah.
Mostly kind of goes back to my attorneys.
So does that mean you're planning to come back to Australia in the near future?
I can't. They said I can't even apply to come back for 3 years. And then they gave me this $11,000 bill saying that you have to pay that before you return to Australia as well.
That's pretty insulting, isn't it? Did you know that Green Senator Bob Brown's calling now for a Senate inquiry into ASIO and what's happened with you in particular? And also the person in charge of another inquiry that's going on is suggesting that there could be compensation in it for you. Let's hope that happens, eh?
Yeah, I have heard that. I heard that Bob Brown's calling for actual investigation into the leak to the Australian.
Yeah, is there anything you want to tell us that we haven't asked you?
Actually, there's something I did want to say, because I get asked this question a lot, but I just want people to understand that I really liked Australia. I loved Australia. I thought you have a beautiful country, and all the people I love were warm and friendly. I was invited into so many people's homes to stay as I traveled through, and this hasn't jaded my view of Australia at all. I don't necessarily care for the government too much and what they did to me, but as far as the Australian people go, I love them, and I love, you know, just traveling through your beautiful country.
That's really good to hear, because we'd love to have you back. You'd come back a hero if once all this is all over. Peace movement needs more heroes.
We don't need more heroes. We just need more of a peace movement. We need more people getting involved and getting out in the street. And in the very least, I hope that what the ordeal that's happened to me really kind of, you know, encourages more people to say, hey, I've had enough and it's time to start doing something than just like complaining about it after watching the news every night.
I think it has. I mean, you've seen that there's been a lot of people out in the street in your defence and in the defence of civil rights in Australia as it is. And that's been really heartening for us in the peace movement. So thanks for doing that for us, Scott, even if you didn't mean to.
No worries, Cam.
How does it feel being a celebrity?
I'm taking it all in my stride. Since I'm in the US, I'm not a celebrity, so it's okay. I guess it'd be different if I was in Australia.
We're really, really sorry for what happened to you and what the Australian government did to you. On behalf of myself and the majority of Australians, we all disagreed with the government's actions, and it was really bad. We're really sorry.
It's okay. Well, it's not okay, but I appreciate y'all saying that. And just keep hammering away, you know, your government, because they're on the, I don't know if they're on the ropes right now, but they're definitely not winning the media war.
Good to hear from you.
All right.
Keep your chin up.
Well, bye. I'm glad to talk to y'all.
Okay.
Give everybody my best.